Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another edition of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, and we're just 1 week removed from when Dear Leader Trump, the leader of one of the two major political parties in the country, the Republican Party, the grand old party, was found guilty of not 32, not 33, but 34 felony counts by a jury of our peers in New York City. The Law and Order Party, as it loves to call itself, the party of personal responsibility, as it touts itself, is still in the midst of having a collective cry fest over this verdict. Now, the jury agreed unanimously that Dear Leader Trump was guilty of orchestrating a scheme causing others around him to commit criminal activities by falsifying business records to cover up that he had sex with a porn star, her name Stormy Daniels, which no doubt influenced the outcome of the 2016 election. And all Republicans are suddenly questioning our judicial system, saying that it's flawed. No, they're not saying it's flawed and slanted against people who don't have money and the resources to buy the best lawyers. No, they're not saying it's flawed and slanted against people of color. No, they're not saying it's flawed in how it punishes poor people for robbing a bank versus a rich guy who swindles millions of dollars from people. They're mad that one of their own, the ones who are not supposed to go to jail, has been held accountable by our judicial system. And they're also showing themselves to be the party of the rich, the oligarchs, and the autocrats, the connected people, the wealthy people, the ones born in wealth. They're the ones who are never to be held to account for the crimes that they commit. No, that's for the poor people to do, not for the rich. And I feel like the press is forgetting, too, that this is the same guy who was found guilty of sexually abusing a woman. Found liable. Progressive comedian John Fugelsang tweeted a response to a MAGA person this week who was upset at John for claiming that Trump wasn't tried for rape, because I think John may have said rape. So John's response to that person was a bumper sticker saying, "Trump 2024, it was sexual assault, not rape." This is the guy Republicans are defending. And it's just grossly embarrassing. I mean, for them, not for me, really. As I said in last week's Friday Short, Congressman John James here from Michigan cried, and I quote, "This isn't accountability. It's election interference, and the American people will hold them accountable in November." Republican candidate for Michigan's Senate seat, Florida Mike Rogers, called the trial rigged and un-American, sounding very Trumpian. I mean, Florida Mike was once a critic of Dear Leader Trump, but now is kissing the ring of his party leader. Here's white Christian nationalist Congressman Tim Walberg on Dear Leader's conviction last week, courtesy of WLNS in Lansing. Listen.
"I think this will be seen by the fair-minded Republicans and independents as a vendetta attempting to keep a candidate off the ballot who will most likely win."
Yes, now the judicial process is wrong, according to Tim Walberg. I mean, it's not the first time that Timmy has attacked and played a part in trying to sow distrust in this country's institutions. Don't forget, Dear Leader contacted Timmy after the 2020 election, asking Timmy to serve as a communicator between Dear Leader and the Michigan Republican leadership in Dear Leader's hopes to overturn an election that he lost here by around 150,000 votes. I'll have more on Timmy here in just a few moments, okay? So stay tuned for that. Oh yeah, we've got right-wing dingbat from the Thumb Region, Congresswoman Lisa McClain, saying on Twitter last week, "I stand with President Trump now, and I always, always will." So despite being found liable for sexual assault and later found to have committed 34 felonies, McClain is sticking by her man. McClain also tweeted, "Sham court, sham trial. If Donald Trump's name wasn't Donald Trump, he would have been acquitted. What a travesty." No, the travesty, Congresswoman, is that you back a guy who's been found liable for sexual assault and is now guilty of committing 34 felonies. Not that any of that matters, because as McClain once stated at a rally in Michigan a couple of years ago,
while President Trump was in office, we didn't have a war, and I think he made three peace treaties. Caught Osama bin Laden and Soleimani.
Yes, you heard that correct. She praised Dear Leader for capturing Osama bin Laden, even though Dear Leader wasn't president at the time. That, of course, was President Obama. But Lisa McClain knows that she can spew that nonsense, which everyone knows is a laughable lie, because the MAGA base devours what it's told. As progressive talker Dean Obadella wrote on CNN a few years back about McClain's outrageous claim, he said, neither she nor Trump was there to educate voters, but rather to spew pro-Trump propaganda designed to bolster the former president at the expense of our democratic republic. He is right. And remember, McClain voted to overturn the election, too. Let's see what else we've got. Former State Senator Tom Barrett, a Charlotte Republican who's, of course, running for Michigan's 7th Congressional District seat, declared the verdict was a sad day for the country. No political leader in American history has been targeted more by these lawfare tactics, clearly designed to hold him hostage as he seeks the presidency. See, they have no trust in the judicial system. Interesting. Michigan Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt also got into the crying act, saying on Facebook, the use of our legal system as a political weapon penetrated by these left-wing fanatics is abhorrent. Oh, just abhorrent. The legal system is suddenly left-wing if it finds Republicans guilty of crimes. And let's not ignore the fact that Dear Leader had sex with a porn star, which his lawyers really didn't fight against in the case, but the so-called family values crowd is still sticking with him, by God. And what did our good friend up in the 1st District have to say about this? Let's see. Okay, here's Republican Congressman from Louisiana. I'm sorry. I'm told he also resides in Michigan. Here's Jack Bergman saying on Twitter, and I quote, the weaponization... It's like they all had the same talking points. The weaponization of our judicial system is obvious, egregious, and just sad. This sham of a trial has been purely political from start to finish and indicative of the banana republic that President Biden is hell-bent on turning us into. So Jack Bergman is saying, everyone, that if you're a rich Republican, you never have to face the consequences of your illegal activity. Jack Bergman saying, as long as you're on our side, the Republican side, then the system should only ever work for you. For everyone else, hey, sorry. Don't forget, too, Jack Bergman also voted to overturn the 2020 election, overturning the will of Michiganders, not to mention overturning his own election, which was odd. The people in the 1st District deserve better than Jack Bergman. And they could get it with Dr. Bob Lawrencer, who's also a good friend of the podcast. And Dr. Bob had this to say after the conviction, and he put this up on social media, and I'm quoting here, just a sad reminder that my GOP opponent, Representative Jack Bergman, endorsed and accepted an endorsement from this criminal. Now, that's how you do it, Democrats. Don't feel like you have to, you know, stay quiet. Don't feel like you have to be above the fray. Don't think you just have to let the verdict speak for itself. No, this is politics. It's a battle. People respond to those who are doing the talking and the communicating. Attack Dear Leader by calling him a convicted felon every time you talk about him. And even more, go after all of those who support Dear Leader despite being a convicted felon. This is politics. It's a constant battle. Too many times I feel like Democrats forget that politics is a battle over ideas and messaging. I think they believe that's just on policy. And while progressives usually win on policies because progressive policies are popular with the people, it's also a battle of ideas and messaging. It's about politics. Democrats have to stop with this whole we're above it game. That's a losing game, and it's a losing strategy. Give Dr. Bob Lawrencer credit for understanding this fact and for understanding how Republican Jack Bergman doesn't believe in helping the people of Northern Michigan and the UP. He just believes in power for his side, which of course means power for him. And I'd like to say a quick thank you to Dr. Bob and his campaign for sharing parts of our discussion from a month ago with his supporters on social media. I'm just happy to lend a hand in getting the progressive messages out to the Michigan masses. So please go back and listen to my full talk with Dr. Bob Lawrencer from a few weeks ago. Trust me, especially those of you in the first district, you won't be disappointed. Oh, and before I forget, thanks to Dana Van Effen up in Delta County for passing this note along about Congressman Jack Bergman. This is from The Hill, and I quote, "An analysis by the Washington Post has found that Representative Jack Bergman was the top spender last year under the House's new reimbursement program. Congratulations, Jack. The reimbursement program passed last year by a House panel allows members to be reimbursed for expenses from living both in their home districts and in Washington, or in Jack's case, in Louisiana and Washington. More than 300 members were reimbursed at least $5.2 million in 2023, a Post analysis found. Now, the taxpayer-funded program gives back money to lawmakers for food and lodging while they're on official business in D.C., but critics of the program say it has very few formal rules and does not require record-keeping, and that, as a result, there is room for abuse. Well, no surprise there. The first 11 months of the program, the Post reports that 153 Democrats and 166 Republicans received reimbursement. Now, the Post initially identified Representative Matt Gaetz as the top spender in 2023, but later the Post updated its analysis after reviewing the data, and this new data made Bergman the top spender. Bergman was reimbursed for more than $32,000 in lodging and nearly $12,000 for meals in 2023. The Hill has reached out to Bergman's office for comment, but it does seem like that Bergman's office so far has been quite quiet on this issue. Now, this is the same guy. Jack Bergman is the same guy who voted against extending the expanded child poverty tax credit after that program slashed childhood poverty in half in just 1 year. But Jack said, no, we don't have money for poor children, but he just loves spending our money for his expensive meals and lodging. Jack Bergman is a hypocrite, and Jack Bergman is not what the First District needs. Again, he cares just about one thing and one thing only, power. Now, before we reach the first time out of this week's episode, I wanted to focus on a story written by Anna Liz Nichols of Michigan Advance. Now, her story was informative and terrifically written, so I'm not attacking her story. It's what's in the story that got me all fired up a bit because it continues to show how Democrats, especially Michigan Democrats, have to show strength and resolve during this crucial campaign season. Now, last week, many politicians and business bigwigs were off at their Mackinac Policy Conference on Mackinac Island, and as Anna Liz Nichols reported, there was a forum about how to bring consensus and how best to get things done in Washington, D.C. Michigan Democratic U.S. Senators Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters were joined on stage with the aforementioned Michigan Republican Congresswoman Lisa McClain and Congressman Tim Walberg. So right then and there, you know that this whole panel was probably going to be flawed. Anyway, they talked about how the media only covers the partisan rancor between the parties rather than the policies. And Lisa McClain scolded the press and told them to stop covering daily skirmishes. Wait. Is she serious? Is Lisa McClain serious? No, is she serious? I mean, here's the same woman telling Northern Oakland County Republicans that they have to ballot harvest absentee ballots, which is illegal, and it's not what the Democrats do. Listen.
I never in a million years thought I would tell everyone to bank the vote and to ballot harvest. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. But if we want to win, we have to play by the same rules they play. It's not right. It is absolutely not right. But if we don't play by those rules, we will not win. So we need to make sure that we ballot harvest. We go to the nursing homes. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Ballot chase.
But I'm even going to say, I'm going to even go prior to ballot chase. We need to make sure we get ballots out to Republicans to make sure they vote.
In fact, you can hear someone there in the crowd try to tell her or try to correct her and saying ballot chasing. Now, that's okay. That's where you can remind people to vote and to turn in their ballots. You can do that. That's fine. You just can't grab absentee ballots from people, turn them into the county clerk. That is against the law. Oh, now here's McClain with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo from earlier this year, hoping that that McClain would tell our audience that they've got all the evidence, all the goods to show that President Joe Biden is running a criminal ring in the White House. Listen.
Have you been able to identify any actual policy changes that Joe Biden made as a result of getting money from China? The short answer is no.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, here's McClain, unable to argue, although it sounds like she's arguing with herself about inflation and crime.
As one of your so-called MAGA Republicans, who, again, I don't apologize for, because under MAGA Republican leadership, I might remind everybody, crime was down. Crime was up. Crime was down under the last administration. Clearly, crime was down. Inflation was up.
Oh, how embarrassing. And by the way, crime has been dropping over the past few years, and she, like every Republican, has a no counter plan to the historic corporate greedflation that's been happening. Oh, and as an aside, when it comes to greedflation, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, and others announced this week that they are slashing prices because, I'll be darned, due to greedflation, customers are refusing to buy their overpriced products. Anyway, getting back to McClain, who says the press should ignore the political squabbling. Here she was recently going off on a transphobic rant.
The day you can wake up and say, well, today I'm a girl, tomorrow I'm a boy, the next day I'm a furry. It's like, and they do this at 5 years old. I'm like, you don't even know how the parts work at 5 years old, let alone who you are. It's the most bizarre. We live in bizarro world.
Disgusting. Spare me, Congresswoman, when you say you want to get stuff done. No, you are exactly who the press should refuse to cover because you just scream and yell. You have nothing to offer but your anger and, even worse, your ignorance. So forgive me if I won't accept any of your calls for decorum. Now, Senator Stabenow talked about how she wishes we could act unified again as we did on 9/11, but Senator, that only lasted for about a week as Republicans realized pretty fast how they could use the attacks to their political advantage. And Senator, it's again difficult to deal with people from the other side who are coming from a bad faith position. They don't want to get things done. Remember, both McClain and Timmy Walberg voted against certifying the election in 2020. Where's the starting point for bipartisanship when you bring that up? McClain also said during that forum on Mackinac Island, and I quote, "My biggest surprise was how functioning Congress was. If you remove the media, we all want what's best for the next generation. We all want us to leave the next generation, our children, in a better spot than they are now. We can all agree that we want to put Michigan at the top of the list. If you remove the media, we can do what's best for the next generation." I mean, is she for real? She clamors for the cameras. That's what she does. She's trying her best to be Michigan's Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's exactly what Lisa McClain does every time she's in Congress. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? Is it on me? I want it on me. Put it on me. Me, me, me. The Michigan Advance story had this little tidbit, by the way. It said that the panel of lawmakers was asked if they trust each other. Stabenow and Peters said yes. McClain said, heck no, which was greeted with some laughs from the audience. Isn't that just funny? Oh, Lisa, she's always got one on us. Well, I'll admit, she is at least a little honest there. It is a little scary to hear Stabenow and Peters say yes. They can trust others, especially after January 6th. Again, it's hard to negotiate in good faith with people who have zero desire to negotiate in good faith. And when it comes to decorum, Timmy Walberg can't really speak about that. Let me remind everyone, and I talked about this last winter. Back in the fall of 2023, Walberg made a trip to Uganda where he urged the country of Uganda to stand by its recently passed anti-homosexuality law, a law which includes the death penalty. Walberg, who is also the National Prayer Breakfast co-chair, attended Uganda's National Prayer Breakfast where he attacked the World Bank because why? Because the World Bank denounced the hateful law Uganda passed, a law Walberg tacitly celebrated there. But I'd like to add this little quote once again, and this was from John King's story, also in Michigan Advance from last winter, and it's a quote by Emmy Zanotti, the Director of Advocacy and Civic Engagement with the Equality Michigan Action Network. And this is what Emmy had to say, and I quote, "First and foremost, our hearts lie with LGBTQ+ Ugandans who will suffer the consequences of the grotesque and inhumane policies that Representative Wahlberg is such an impassioned advocate for. This once again highlights that the ultimate endgame for religious extremists is to eliminate democracy and eliminate us. The wave of anti-transgender legislation and subsequent hysteria is simply a means that's being leveraged to divide us and reach that end. We should vote like our lives depend on it in 2024 because they do." Yes, yes, they do. So please spare me the fake tears over the lack of decorum. The Republican Party goes off on these constant rants and dangerous conspiracy theories, but then the Republican Party has the nerve to say, the press shouldn't cover the vitriol. What are they doing? We just want to talk about policy. Vitriol is all the right wing has. Its entire premise is based on vitriol. That's why they all flock to talk radio. That's why they love Fox News. That's why they love Newsmax. It's about vitriol. It's all about shit talking. That's all they do. I mean, look who their leader is. And just to remind you, the U.S. House did pass a domestic terrorism prevention bill, and Lisa McClain, Timmy Wahlberg, Jack Bergman, Bill Huizenga, and my congressman, John Molinar, all voted against protecting their constituents from domestic terrorism, a.k.a. right-wing terrorism. When you spend your career tearing down the democratic institutions and spreading crackpot conspiracy theories, you end up being the extreme radicals, and that's what today's Republican Party has become. So please, Democrats, don't mince words. You cannot negotiate with people who are already negotiating in bad faith. You can't compromise with people who believe in destroying the very fabric of our democracy. If we don't understand that soon, we'll find ourselves on the losing side. All right, need to take a quick break. The last call is coming up. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing Congress next week. I mean, there's no way any Michigan Democrat will attend this shameful moment in American history, is there? Please, please tell me they're not going.
A podcast that believes in using common sense to move Michigan into the future. And by common sense, we mean progressive sense. We've all seen what 40 years of Republican leadership did to this state, and we refuse to go back. It's Left of Lansing with Pat Johnston. You can follow Pat on Facebook or X. Pat still calls it Twitter. Or on the Gram, Threads, and also on YouTube. Subscribe to the show on YouTube and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. All right, I think we gave Pat enough time to catch his breath. Let's get back to it. Here's Pat Johnston.
Okay, so I'm doing a solo show here this week, if you can't tell, but next week, Danielle Atkinson from Mothering Justice will join us again to discuss the paid family leave bill that's still sitting in our state legislature. It needs to get voted on, and it needs to pass this year, Democrats. Hardworking families need help while taking care of a sick family member for just taking care of themselves. Now, Republicans, they refuse to even want to join in this effort because they call it an extended vacation, which is not only, I guess, the Christian way of looking at things, but it's rich for them to say such a thing considering how much vacation time they already receive. So Danielle Atkinson from Mothering Justice will return to talk more about this next week. I'd like to also remind you to please subscribe to the podcast and give it a good review, and please subscribe to the Left of Lansing YouTube page. That's right, I'll soon be doing some videos, and in the future, everyone, I'll even post some of my interviews on YouTube as well. Something to look forward to in the future. But most of all, share this show with others and let them know that there's a strong progressive podcast in Michigan that's dedicated to bringing true progressive change, or as I like to say, common sense change to the state. And of course, just let me know what you think about the show by emailing me leftoflansing@gmail.com. I just want to quickly say that I'm against Israel's war on the Palestinian people in Gaza and have not made that much of a secret here on the pod, but I'm also against destruction, as John Lennon said. And I don't believe that vandalizing a law firm that's co-owned by a University of Michigan regent really solves anything. It doesn't solve anything whatsoever. It's counterproductive, and it doesn't win new people to your side. If anything, it may drive them away. You win by effectively bringing people to your side. That's the way to do it. Case in point, time now for the Left of Lansing Last Call.
The leadership of Congress has invited Prime Minister Netanyahu for a joint address before Congress. I'm not going. I'll tell you why. Israel had every right in the world to defend itself against the horrific Hamas terrorist attack of October 7th. But you know what? Israel did not have the right under Netanyahu's right-wing extremist leadership to go to war against the entire Palestinian people.
That, of course, was Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders announcing why he will not attend Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to the joint session of Congress on June 13th. And, you know, that seems like a real easy call if you're a Democrat, especially a progressive Democrat, especially if you're a Democrat or progressive in the state of Michigan. I mean, it's sad enough that Democratic congressional leaders, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, it's sad enough that they even agreed to such a vile move that was put into motion by Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Jahan Jones wrote on MSNBC the following, and I think it sums up perfectly why Netanyahu should not be allowed to speak in front of Congress. And I quote here, "The message Congress is sending with its invitation to Netanyahu is even more odious. This is a man whose government has seemingly ignored U.S. officials' demands to limit civilian casualties in Gaza, a man who President Joe Biden said people have every reason to believe is prolonging the war for political purposes, a man who has been denounced by families of Israeli hostages for not agreeing to deals that would return hostages. Netanyahu has said that anyone who says that I'm not doing everything to bring back our hostages is wrong and misleading. While the U.S. deals with its own internal attacks on judicial legitimacy, the prospect of Congress platforming the first sitting Israeli prime minister to face criminal corruption charges, who's pursued anti-democratic policies against the judiciary within his own country, seems ill-advised, to say the least." And that's an excellent point there by Jahan Jones. I'll add on that the International Criminal Court has, of course, filed charges against Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, as well as the leaders of Hamas, with war crimes and crimes against humanity. Now, the United States tends to side with the ICC, especially, you know, since we're kind of declaring Russia's Vladimir Putin as a war criminal for Russia's war in Ukraine, you know. In fact, Republicans wanted to sanction the ICC for its moves against Netanyahu and Gallant, but that's even too far for the Biden administration. It has rejected an offer to join Republicans in Congress in sanctioning the ICC. And you know what? That's a good decision, considering the Guardian bombshell report over how Israel has been operating a years and years long spying and surveillance campaign against the ICC. So let's recap. The war on Gaza has killed over 36,000 people, 70% of them women and children. 70%. Now, of course, Israel has a right to defend itself after Hamas killed over 1,000 Israelis and kidnapped some 200 more back in October, but it never had the right to slaughter nearly 40,000 people. How the hell is that a proportionate response? That is not a proportionate response, which is why I'm puzzled as to why any Democrat from the Michigan congressional delegation would agree to attend to hear this clown. He's not only divisive, but he and his extreme right-wing government go against the very principles of what progressives and what Democrats are supposed to stand for. Under his so-called leadership, Hamas attacked and killed over 1,000 of his people. I mean, that's a failure, an epic failure. And it makes you wonder, what the hell are we wasting our tax dollars on if he can't keep his people safe? But then he and his extreme government go on a killing spree, and we get sucked into it because, of course, we're giving them all the cash and all the weapons. Look, I understand why Republicans would love to bring Bibi back to Congress, because, like MAGA, he's wrong. I mean, he's always wrong. Here he was testifying in front of a congressional committee back in 2002, telling everyone that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which was the George W. Bush rationale for the Iraq War, one of the biggest foreign policy disasters in this nation's history. Listen.
There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever. And there is no question that once he acquires it, history shifts immediately.
And Netanyahu also said during that testimony that by toppling Hussein in Iraq, a democratic uprising would happen in Iran, toppling the theocratic regime there. Well, it didn't happen. And thanks to Netanyahu's bloodthirst for war and more war, the Iraq war ended up costing the lives of 4,492 American service members, with another 32,292 injured. But there's more, since we now know our little war over there ended up killing approximately 200,000 Iraqi civilians, and the war ended up costing us $728 billion. And Bibi came to Washington back in 2002 to lie about how Saddam had WMDs when he didn't, and that toppling Saddam would lead to some major uprising in other Middle Eastern countries. It didn't. Also, let's not forget, Michigan congressional Democrats, how Netanyahu disrespected President Barack Obama in his visit to the White House back in 2011. How can you forget that? I've never forgotten it. I know many out there haven't forgotten it. We know that he wants Dear Leader back in power. We know Netanyahu wants Dear Leader back in power, even though, in my opinion, the Biden administration has essentially given Bibi's right-wing government whatever they want in their thirst to destroy the Palestinian people. So I'm urging all the Michigan Democrats to show solidarity and to show some spine and refuse to sit there for all the right-wing propaganda and Islamophobia Netanyahu is going to spew right there on the House floor. This guy has been disastrously wrong time and time again and has ended up costing this country money and lives. His track record sucks. He's up for war crimes. If you stand for decency, the rule of law, for the Palestinian and Israeli people who have paid for this guy's hubris, for the American people who've paid either through money or lost lives of their family members, and if you stand for human rights, you cannot attend what is essentially a rally for extremism, a propaganda rally for extremism. You can't sit there and accept what he's saying. The man lies all of the time. So I call on Democratic Senators Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters and Congresspeople Alyssa Slotkin, Haley Stevens, Debbie Dingell, Hillary Scholten, Dan Kildee, and the joke that is Sheree Tandahar to sit this one out. Sit this one out. As for Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, I'm not going to tell her what to do. Maybe she shows up in protest since she's a Palestinian American, or maybe she doesn't show. I'm going to leave that one up to her. But I'm calling on all the other Michigan Democrats to boycott listening to this right-wing criminal. Please call your congressperson, both Republicans and Democrats, and tell them you are against Netanyahu's appearance. He's everything this country is not supposed to stand for. You're listening to LOL.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of The Left of Lansing. Hey, Republicans in the U.S. Senate just voted to block the Right to Contraception Act. This act that Democrats introduced in the Senate would have enshrined a federal right to access abortion, but of course, Republicans were there to block it. Why? Well, because they want women living under their warped white Christian nationalist agenda in which women give their bodies to the state. And these Republicans call themselves the Small Government Party? Huh. I may need to get Ashley Fennessy from Michigan Planned Parenthood Advocacy to come back here on the show to talk about how Republicans continue to attack abortion and contraception rights, which are, of course, economic rights. Next week, Danielle Atkinson from Mothering Justice will join the show. Let me say a quick thank you to my good friend Rich for everything that he does for leftoflansing.com. And I'd like to finish this episode by asking you a question that I asked others on Twitter this week. Did the Michigan Cottonwood annual snowfall begin a little earlier this year? I mean, it seems like it used to always hold off until early June, but this year it seemed to me Like, everything started a few days before Memorial Day. I mean, very abnormal. Or is it just me and it started around the same time as it always does? Let me know your thoughts on such a vital topic. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. Until next time, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.